an iHeartRadio station.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio. Join us as we discuss hard-won self-defense lessons, as well as the information you need to survive a violent encounter. Listen as armed professionals, industry experts, and gunfight survivors help answer all your firearms and self-defense questions while exploring your rights and responsibilities as an armed citizen. Ballistic Radio, just the facts. And now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com. Get the latest behind-the-scenes info, arguments, silliness, photos that cause people to say really, really wrong things, and other stuff at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Co-hosting with me, Ping Ping.
Yay.
Or Jack Jack.
It's interchangeable now.
It is. And I blame Keith Martin for that.
It's all Keith's fault.
We are going to be talking about appendix inside the waistband carry tonight with Todd Green from pistoltraining.com, which should be cool. And if you're trying to watch the Google Hangouts right now, apparently Google hates me and is not working, and I'm trying to get that up and running, but I have not succeeded so far. So if you're wondering where that's at, that's why we're not live on air there. But, oh yeah, by the way, this segment brought to you by Wilson Combat. Wilson Combat, makers of the finest custom 1911s, ARs, and scatterguns since 1977, a legacy of quality, innovation, and service. Learn more about their firearms and accessories at www.wilsoncombat.com. Without further ado, Todd Green. Todd, how are you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. How are you? Congratulations on all the good news from SHOT Show.
Well, thank you, man. I am doing surprisingly well, so... Not bad for a radio show, dude, I guess. But so, yeah, other than, well, hopefully I won't hang up on you like 5 or 6 times tonight, like I did the first time you came on the show a couple years ago. So
I have faith.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But for those that don't know, have missed your previous appearances on the show, can you just say who you are, what you do, and go from there?
My name's Todd Green. I have a website called pistoltraining.com. I've been doing, you know, training classes and the like for about 10 years. Before that, I worked for SIG, and then before that, I used to work for Beretta.
Perfect. That's nice and concise. So the reason why I wanted to have you on, I posted a photo of me in the car, and I'm in the photo, I'm carrying a Glock 19 with a Unity tactical slide on it that's got like an Aimpoint T2, just because I'm discovering why I don't like optics on handguns yet again, because I do that every once in a while and someone will suggest something new and I experiment with it because, you know, facts and numbers and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it has created this firestorm of various iterations of you're going to shoot yourself in the genitalia. And it occurred to me that there were a lot of things that people say about carrying AIWB, which, for those that don't know, is if you position the gun somewhere between, you know, if we imagine 12 o'clock is straight in front of us, somewhere in between 12 and 2:30, so forward of the hips. That's what we're talking about. What are your thoughts on AIWB, and why do so many people say things that are just wrong about it?
Well, I used to feel the exact same way. I have a very good friend named Chris, who was the first person who, you know, was kind of part of our local circle, who was very, very, very serious about appendix carry. And it's just a naturally, you know, scary thing for a guy to think about there being a gun pointed in that general area. But, you know, eventually you start to think about, you know, like anything, there are benefits and there are disadvantages, and, you know, unless you're worried about it going off all by itself, which does not happen with any real frequency, it's just a matter of being responsible. You know, one of the things that I tell people all the time from my experience teaching is that the most dangerous type of holster I've ever seen are those collapsing hybrid holsters that people put on their hip.
Right.
Because I've seen so many people point the gun crossways you know, basically through all their intestines, trying to get the gun back in the holster. And that's far more dangerous than having a reasonable, safe, intelligent method of putting the gun someplace else.
Yeah.
And there have been many students that I've had to pull off the line and say, you need to either figure out a way to get your gun in that holster, or you need to take that holster off. I've never had that problem with appendix carry. I think that because appendix carry sort of necessarily has you handling the gun close to sensitive places, I think that people tend to be more thoughtful, more slow, just more careful in general. And that's part of the reason why, unlike most forms of carry, you can go online and find big, long discussions about how do I holster a gun in my appendix and all that other kind of stuff. But because people have kind of sat down and done the math on all that because they realize that they can make it, you know, a non-issue as long as they're smart.
Well, and that was, we got about 50 seconds left in the segment, and we'll get into it a little bit more in the next one. But one of the, you know, I can say with all honesty, the reason why I started doing it was because I remember following your tests, your endurance tests with the various test guns and seeing the success that you had, and you talking about the benefits of the method of carry, and you know, have had a lot of luck with it since then. But you are right. There is certainly, if we have an accident or something like that, the repercussions from that are a lot more, or can be potentially a lot more serious than some other places. We're talking with Todd Green from pistoltraining.com right now. A little bit more about appendix carry when we get back. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by Dark Star Gear. Whether you know the color of the boathouse at Hereford, or only know the color of your mom's basement and earth-crushing disappointment in your lack of success or grandchildren, Darkstar Gear has a solution to your gear-carrying needs. Check out their clip-on holster for small semi-autos and revolvers, or their highly adjustable full-size AIWB holster. They even have a belt-wrapped sheath for popular fixed-blade centerline knives to really tie your EDC together, like that one rug I used to have. Designed, developed, and pressure-tested for real life. Not Instagram, though Instagram is cool. All the kids are doing it. Find out more at darkstargear.com.
Would you say that all the kids are on Instagram straight flexing?
I mean, there's a couple of me on there straight flexing, so I don't want to, like, throw stones in a selfie-filled house. But we're talking with Todd Green tonight about appendix carry. Now, before the break, Todd, you were saying that it's one of the methods that has entire threads dedicated to talking about things as simple as how do I reholster.
Right.
Let's go over that a little bit, because one of the things that I hear often, and I've even seen like big name personalities come out and say, well, you know, there's no way to safely reholster an appendix position without muzzling yourself, which isn't true. But can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I think that a lot of the people who come out against it don't really have a lot of experience, and some of those better known folks that you're alluding to are folks that, you know, they have a way of doing things and this is different, and rather than sit down and learn something new, they are much more interested in being the guy who already.
Right. So I think that we get to discover the joys of cell phones and people driving in cars, talking on cell phones.
Sometimes it's going to get a little funky.
Well, no. So it's here's the funny thing about Todd Green on the show is, for whatever reason, he always gets hung up on and all that. Our producer is frantically dialing.
The
him
scramble
back.
Has begun.
No, that's fine. So here, I was wanting Todd to give us this information because he's way awesomer than I am. But The thing about appendix carry that a lot of people say, oh, you can't reholster without muzzling yourself. Well, no, that's not true. There's a couple things that you can do. And one of them, if you consider that the gun is in front of your hips, if you pretend like you're just going under a real low limbo bar, which I know looks dumb, but push your hips way far out, cant the butt of the gun towards the body, and just sort of slowly feed the muzzle into the mouth of the holster. Wow, this really got bad. This went to a dark place quick. Jack.
If at the end
Todd's back.
Yay!
Good. Man, Todd, you were missing the awesome, like, description.
Awesome is one word for it.
Yeah, awesome is one word. Awesome description I was giving for how to safely reholster. You should do better, sir, and go over this for people.
The important things are to, you know, make sure your finger's off the trigger. I'm a very big believer that, you know, as soon as the gun is no longer pointed at something you're shooting, the finger comes off the trigger, and that's kind of part of bringing it back to your ready position or however you want to think of it. And then, you know, just look down and be slow and make sure there's nothing that's going to touch the trigger. And, you know, there's never really a reason to race back into your holster, especially when you're practicing. And that'll solve almost all your problems. You know, one benefit or one little benefit you can give yourself anyway is if you lean slightly backwards when you're holstering appendix, you're sort of pushing the muzzle of the gun in front of you, and that helps with, you know, concerns about covering yourself. There are a lot of people who use holsters that are specifically designed with a little bit of wedge that causes the gun to move in that direction all by itself as the gun is entering the holster. So those are all good things, but at the end of the day, it's like anything else. You know, holster responsibly, holster slowly, look at what you're doing, and, you know, don't let yourself fall into a habit of, I'm, you know, so used to what I'm doing, I can just ignore all the rules and go fast.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, and you mentioned, you know, looking the gun into the holster, and a lot of people seem to get confused of context, of why certain people do certain things. I have heard the argument in the past, well, you know, if you're going hands-on with a suspect and you need to control them and you don't want to take eyes off them or something like that. So it's people taking things from a law enforcement environment and then trying to apply them to the civilian thing we're doing. I mean, have you run into that?
Absolutely. And I guess my number one point would be, I'm not worried about having to go hands-on with a suspect when I'm at the range doing 100 draws a day.
Right.
And so my concern there is making sure that I holster the gun the most safe way rather than, you know, pretending that I'm about to get into a fist fight with, you know, a criminal that's never going to be an issue for me to begin with. So, you know, my job is not to go around arresting people. And most of the police officers I know, you know, so first of all, a uniformed police officer probably carrying a gun in a much different kind of holster. And even then, most of the really squared away folks I know and instructors I know would tell them that, you know, taking one quick glance, make sure that what you're doing is free and clear and there's not, you know, some other person there, there's not somebody's person's hand or, you know. As a general rule, I believe that shooting yourself, whether it's in the groin or in the leg or in the hip, is a really lousy way to start going hands-on with somebody. So making sure that your gun is secure is going to be a lot smarter, and hopefully, you know, your situation is such that you can afford that 1 second. And if you're worried about it that much, I guess you know, empty your gun and practice, you know, blindly holstering your gun a bunch.
You're listening to the 5-Minute Service on Fox.
Right. Wow, our producer is just, I blame you.
I missed the pretty one.
Oh, yeah. lady producer does not play things randomly during the show. Oh, he's putting his head down on the desk. I'm teasing, man. I've missed you, too.
I'm not.
I'm sorry, Todd. What were you saying before our producer egregiously messed up?
That if there are people who are that concerned about being able to holster a gun with their eyes closed, they should clear their gun and practice holstering an empty gun with their eyes closed.
Right.
And, you know, now they get all the practice they want.
Well, and that seems to be something that a lot of people miss out on as well, that when we're talking about things like reholstering the gun or reholstering the gun under stress, I had an incident about, well, let's see, before my daughter was born, actually. So 16, 17 months ago, where I had to draw and fire a shot in relation to a dog. And due to the situation and some other things that were going on, needed to reholster after that to continue a conversation with the owner of the dog that I did not want to do with a gun in my hand for multiple reasons. And ended up reholstering the gun, decocked the gun. I mean, I don't remember doing it, but I did it safely, one-handed, while, you know, if I looked, I don't remember doing it, while I was controlling my dog, you know, seeing where this other dog had gone and all sorts of things. But if you really practice your manipulations and, in general, your weapons handling skills and ingrain those good habits, that's what you tend to fall back on, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. And there's a tremendous body of scientific knowledge that that's the way that the brain and our nerve system literally, you know, people talk about muscle memory and some people complain that it's the wrong term, but we really do build up neurological pathways when we do things over and over and over again, and we create a system where instead of having to give your fingers 85 different commands, you just give it one, and it goes through those 85 motions because it's done it so much. That's, I mean, that's like shooting in general. At a certain point, you get where you don't have to think about one sight trigger press. You're just doing it because you've done it so many times, that's the right way to do it. You've learned how to do it.
Well, and that's, you know, it's back into that whole unconscious competence, conscious competence and things like that.
Exactly.
You know, that I guess people don't want to talk about a lot because that takes practice and hard work. So what are some of the advantages compared to traditional behind-the-hip carry that appendix carry has? What are some of the disadvantages? I mean, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment, so we'll have to get into it a little bit more next one, but what are the pluses and minuses?
I think the most popular plus is that it's a little bit faster for a draw. In reality, I don't know how important that is, but it's definitely a truism. You know, you probably save a quarter second or half a second on your draw, whether that matters to you or not. Some of the benefits that I see is it's very easily concealed. It's comfortable. You know, you can bend over and you can pretty much do all of your normal things and nobody's going to really notice it. You know, as a general rule in our society, we don't touch each other's groin areas when we're out and about. So it's a place where nobody's going to accidentally hug you and find it or anything like that.
Right.
It affords for a very surreptitious draw. You don't have to make kind of the obvious movements with your elbows and shoulders that people know from watching television is somebody drawing a gun behind his hip or on his hip.
Right.
I think that there's a real big advantage to that. From a disadvantage standpoint, you know, I think the biggest one is just it really does require somebody who might otherwise be very complacent and have bad habits to dial himself back in and down and make sure that he's doing everything right when he puts the gun away, which at the end of the day, you know, is a lesson that is a positive, but, you know, it's scary.
Right.
And
let me, you know, hold that thought because we got to go to break right now. We're talking with Todd Green from PistolTraining.com. You're listening to Ballistic Radio.
Whoa!
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms parts and accessories. True Product Specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Baird, Six Hour, and many more, as well as premium AR pattern rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself or a first-time gun buyer or competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. So we are talking with Todd Green from PistolTraining.com about appendix carry. Todd, have I hung up on you yet, or have you hung up on me?
Not at all.
Well, that one time. I mean, it dropped the call, but we won't count that. So, I guess. Anyway, you were talking before the... Not a laugh at all. Jeez. I'm sorry that my jokes are not funny tonight, Todd, or any night, really. So you were talking before the break that, you know, some of the advantages to carrying appendix, some of the disadvantages. The main one seems to, like you said, revolve around safety and maybe people recognizing that they could make a mistake. I mean, I've noticed that people don't like doing that. They don't like talking about, well, I might mess up.
Yeah, you know, one of the best thoughts that I've heard is I've got a student of mine who, you know, very consciously, every time he holsters the gun, he says to himself, don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
And that's an intelligent habit. You know, it sets your mind right. And like I said, the main goal is to avoid complacency, which happens so many people on so many levels. And that's why people have accidents when they clean their guns or when they carry their guns in other places. It's just that, you know, this has become some kind of, you know, windmill that people want to tilt at on, you know, the internet for whatever reason. And again, I think the initial reaction is very understandable, and then they get entrenched in their position and don't want to learn that there's a better way to do it.
Right. So let's say that somebody decides that they want to try out appendix carry. What are some of the things to look for as far as, you know, holsters, belts, how high you wear your pants? I mean, what are some of the tips and tricks that if you're going to try this, may or may not help you out?
So I would say that unlike most other forms of carry, especially concealed carry, appendix carry is very, very personal. I have some extremely close friends that literally pull their hair out trying to use the same holster that I use.
Right.
They find it uncomfortable, or they find it doesn't conceal well, or so there's really a bit of, you know, toying around and figuring out what works best for you. There are things like the Raven Eidolon holster, which has the benefit of being extremely modular and adjustable, so you can kind of figure out exactly how high you want to wear it, where you want to wear it. The thing that I in general stay away from, unless you're extremely, extremely flat stomached and you know, kind of tall, skinny type of guy, most people need a really well thought out, dedicated appendix holster.
Yeah.
There are a ton of holsters on the market that people sell that they say can be used for appendix. And I've known plenty of people who've taken like a behind the hip holster and thrown it up there and tried it and said, oh, it's not comfortable. Well, that's because you're trying to use a holster for a different part of your anatomy, and it's going to jab into places. It's not going to cant the holster quite the right way. It's not going to put the right parts of the holster being pressed into your body the right way. It won't conceal well, and it won't be comfortable.
So, you know, other than with any holster that we use, except for very, very limited circumstances, for very special, you know, needs, we want a holster that the mouth is rigid, does not collapse. For appendix carry, I mean, neutral cant, reverse cant, not so much of a forward cant.
I think it really can depend on the person and the gun and where they're putting the holster exactly.
Yeah.
Like I know the holsters that I have for a 5-inch 1911, I have a little bit of a reverse cant on them.
Right.
Whereas all of my other appendix holsters, even for a commander size gun, are all straight draw holsters, and that just works better. Again, for me, with my body, where I put the holster, that's what works for me. For a very, very long time, historically, appendix holsters were reverse cant holsters, and they would double in a lot of ways as like a cross-draw holster.
Right.
That was just the way people thought they should work, and it's because they carried them farther toward their hip and not as close toward their midline.
Right.
And so getting the muzzle out of your thigh when you sat down required that, you know, change in angle.
Well, and the other thing that seems to matter a lot, too, is going to be how high you wear your pants. And also, well, I was going to say, having a belt that is infinitely adjustable seems to help as well.
Yes, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. Most of the people that I know who carry appendix definitely use some kind of nylon holster where, you know, you can set it a tenth of an inch tighter if that's what needs to happen to make everything work the same way. The only issue I have with that is it's not as big a deal as appendix carry because you've probably got your concealment garment down covering your belt, including at the front. But a nylon belt can be a pretty significant indicator that someone's got a gun or something like that, because who else wears belts like that?
That's a
gun guy kind of belt. So, again, with appendix carry, not a really big deal because your entire belt is probably covered by the garment that's also covering your gun and your spare mags and all that kind of stuff. But just something to think about. I know there have been plenty of people that I've seen, like, you know, lean over at a grocery store or a restaurant, and you see that nylon belt, and it immediately makes you realize there's a much higher chance that there's a gun nearby than there's not.
Well, and there's, I want to say Mean Gene Leather is now doing a leather belt with the Aries Aegis buckle, I want to say it is. So you can, you know, if you're in the leather or whatever, here. And full disclosure, I've not used their belt. I don't know the quality or that, but I know a lot of people that are friends of mine have had a lot of luck with them, and I generally trust their judgment. So don't take this as a personal endorsement, but if you're looking for something like that, maybe go check them out, and that's one way around that.
Sure.
Seems like people wear their pants too low as well.
You know, some of that is just how your pants rise.
Yeah.
And, I don't think it's something people give enough thought to. And so they might go out and have, you know, 12 different pair of pants, and each of those pants have a different ride height, a different, you know, position of their belt loops and all those things. And they kind of get lackadaisical about exactly where they're going to put the gun in the holster and all that. You know, I trying to avoid that. Even back when I used to carry behind the hip, I was pretty specific. If I needed to, I would bring, you know, jeans or dress pants or whatever to a tailor and have them, you know, unstitch a belt loop and stitch it where I needed it.
Right.
And that helped. But no, there's absolutely no question, especially when you're talking about appendix carry and how the gun's going to contact maybe your hip or you know, your crease or anything like that. Yeah, if you do something that causes the gun to suddenly sit half an inch lower or half an inch higher, it can have a really major effect on concealment and comfort.
Well, and so that's something else that a lot of people, you know, and I know you already mentioned this at the beginning of the show. We got about a minute and a half left, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. But the comfort was the biggest surprise for me, is that it, for me personally, and I'm 6 foot two and about 200 and, after the Vegas trip, 60 pounds because we ate too much out there. You know, and I don't have a problem because I've got a holster that's set up well. I just got done taking a 37-hour straight van ride because we drove to and from Vegas, and I had a Glock 19 with an X300 Ultra on the entire trip, and it was fine. So,
in a well-designed appendix-specific
yes
holster by somebody who knows what he's doing building those kind of holsters.
Exactly, and that seems to be the part that a lot of people miss. I know personally, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're still using JM Custom Kydex, I want to say.
I have that and a 5-shot leather holster that I use pretty regularly.
So 5-shot JM Custom Kydex, Keeper's Concealment. Clearly, I like Darkstar gear quite a bit. Raven Concealment. And that's not to say there aren't other appendix holsters that work well, but those are ones that I've got experience with, Todd has experience with. The Looper, a lot of people like. You really kind of have to experiment around and like we sort of said, find something that works for you that's specifically designed for that method of carrying. We got to go to break, Todd. We're talking with Todd Green from pistoltraining.com. Right now you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio. This segment brought to you by TacStrike Steel Target Systems, makers of the quarter scale steel target and the arch frame target stand, which are literally the best steel targets and target stands I've ever used. Hit their steel targets with more than, we're coming up on 70,000 rounds, aren't we? Of rifle, pistol, and shotgun ammunition without a single problem. For more information, visit them at TacStrike.com. So, we are talking with Todd Green from pistoltraining.com about the ins and outs of appendix carry. Todd, are you still there?
I am indeed.
Hey, perfect. Something I want to ask you about before we get to the end of the show, just because I want to make sure we have time to cover it. You got a charity that you've started as well. Do you mind telling us a little bit about that?
It's called Rampage for the Cure. You can find it at rampageforthecure.org. All one word, Rampage for the Cure. And it's a charity raising money for cancer research.
So, and the reason, see, this is a terrible segue, but the reason why I bring it up is, and this is kind of a teaser, Ballistic Radio and SKD Tactical are going to be working on a couple of things upcoming. I'm not going to tell you guys what, but a portion of the proceeds from that are going to be directly donated to Rampage for the Cure. This is first you're hearing about it, too, so I thought I'd surprise you on live radio because I'm a jerk like that or something.
No, it's very, very cool.
Yeah, well, you haven't seen the product yet. It might be like that bag of implements that they sell, but we won't talk about that on air. So, but anyway, check that out, Rampage for the Cure. If you're feeling generous, it's an awesome charity doing really cool things. So, what have we left out? What haven't we covered about appendix carry that maybe we should?
The only thing that really comes to my mind is, in certain circles, it's become the cool way to do things, and I think that's a very poor choice, although I can think of all sorts of small benefits. Like I said, speed, being a surreptitious draw, being able to protect the gun easily because it's in front of you. It becomes a very easy place to put the gun if you need to do a one-handed reload or a one-handed malfunction or something like that. All of those benefits are small enough that it isn't something that I would recommend somebody to do for their first holster.
Right.
I don't think people should chase it just because they think it's cool or they went to a class and the instructor did it or any of those things. It's not that important. If somebody ends up gravitating toward it because it has advantages, that's a much better way to get there than to just jump out into the deep end of the pool and assume that your habits are such that you'll be just fine and everything else. It's just not the way to get started. I don't know anybody who started that way. Well, everybody kind of kept there evolutionarily.
Right. So do you think that speaks more to, and I mean, I know it happens in a lot of industries, but it seemed very rampant in ours, where we find people whose personality or their doctrine or whatever you want to call it, their je ne sais quoi, speaks to us, and we start following that individual or group of individuals, and we start emulating them, and sometimes that works out well because they're doing cool things or good things, but sometimes we're doing things that maybe aren't the right choice for us in our situation.
Exactly. Like, I know you've had Paul Sharp on your show before, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to follow Paul Sharp around the gym, and he's lifting 300 pounds, so I'm going to lift 300 pounds.
Well, he's pretty small right now, man, so I don't know that he's still lifting 300 pounds. I'm kidding, Paul. Don't hurt me.
Yeah, you know, so Paul is a monster when it comes to that kind of stuff, and if all the people that follow Paul think that they can do exactly what Paul can do, they're probably going to end up, you know, feeling sorry for their choice. And so I think it's a very good point, is you have to know the difference between, you know, doing things because somebody has a good reason for doing them and doing things because it's a good reason for you to do it.
Well, do you think that comes back into that? I mean, so I'm of the belief that anything that we do, whether it's, you know, let's say we need to shoot someone, or let's say that we need to select your whatever it is, we should be able to clearly articulate why we've made that choice. And it seems to me if we're not able to do that, then maybe we should step back and go, well, wait, why am I doing this?
I mean, I would say it's the same thing about, you know, when people select firearms or anything else, is if you pick the gun because Joe Snuffy on the internet said it's the best gun ever, does it fit your hand? Does it fit your needs? I mean, you know, for decades, the advice that a lot of instructors had for, you know, newer and less serious shooters was to get a revolver. And even though that's not as cool, they're very easy to load, very easy to unload, very easy to verify their condition, and they don't require nearly as much effort to work exactly the way they're supposed to. There's an easier manual of arm.
Right.
So they might have limitations that you're not going to have when you're shooting, you know, a high capacity Glock with a tricked out trigger and those things. But they have benefits that might help somebody that most of us don't want to admit could be us. We don't want to admit that, oh, I'm the guy who only goes to the range, you know, every 6 months, and I love guns, so I talk about guns all the time, so I'm a gun guy. But are you a shooter? You know, are you somebody that is literally putting in the time and putting in the work to build all of these good habits and good reflex?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's – so I have a lot of people ask me, so, well, what are you carrying right now? And it's like, well, what I'm carrying right now is not necessarily indicative of what I would be carrying if this weren't my job to try different things. And I've certainly noticed my performance suffer, that I've not been able to stick with one thing consistently for more than, you know, 3-4 months at a time. And I think that's really, I mean, and you've written about carry rotations and things like that in the past. And, you know, if anybody wants to really get in depth on this stuff, go on to Todd's website, pistoltraining.com, pistol-training.com. Amazing articles there talking about a lot of these things, not just related to appendix carry, but it goes back to what you were saying, is admitting, you know, the negatives in our own situation.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a perfect gun or a perfect holster or a perfect technique, nobody would be dealing with anything other than just that.
Right.
And there's a reason why super famous instructor number one uses a different gun and a different holster than super famous instructor number two. And neither of them is wrong. They just both know what they're doing, and they found the thing that works the best for them.
Right. Yeah. Well, that sounds way too reasonable and not argumentative enough, Todd. I don't think we can agree to disagree like that. So, what would be your advice to people that, you know, maybe outside of appendix carry, but people that are wanting to improve either the gun handling or their shooting skills, whatever it is, what would be your advice to them?
So my wife is a great example. My wife we live in a place where it would be impossible for my wife to carry a gun day to day. And she just uses a regular competition style range holster. It's easy. It's accessible. It goes on easy, comes off easy, and it gives her a place to put the gun when it's not in their hands being shot.
Right.
And, you know, 90% of what she does in terms of a draw, she's going to get out of that. And if she has to move the holster to a slightly different place, she's still learning how to draw the gun. And, again, in her specific situation that's just not a huge need. So, you know, she just needs something where if she's in the class, she's not walking around with a bag with a gun in it.
Right.
So she's got a holster with a gun in it, and it's all the same.
Well, and once again, it doesn't seem like people want to acknowledge things like context. And the other thing, too, and you just alluded to this, whether you're drawing from behind the hip or appendix, yes, there are differences. But, you know, when you break it down to establishing the grip, keeping your finger off the trigger, you know, drawing to a number two or, you know, if you draw straight, whatever, you know, executing your draw stroke, you can learn that from various different spots, and there's some carryover there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, at a certain point, the gun's going to come above the holster, above the waistline, to wherever you're going to bring the gun as it starts to move forward. And, you know, from that point forward, it doesn't matter where the gun was. It's in the same place for everybody or for every draw. So,
right.
You know, it a lot of that just becomes, you know, people getting too wrapped up around too many little things.
Yeah. Hey, Todd, I'd really appreciate you taking time out of your Sunday to come on the show tonight. If people want to read your stuff and or find out more about you, where can they do that at?
The name of the website is pistol-training.com.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, man. I'd super appreciate it. So I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you as well. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, no worries. Be safe, man.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, bye. So, next week, I don't know. Somebody cool. Or something like that. What, Jack?
We never know.
Yeah, we find
out. And yell at me about us not knowing.
And that's okay. Make sure you check out our website, ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, be safe and see you next week.